Hello and welcome to the Business Show podcast here on Radio Newark and in partnership with Newark Business Club. I'm one of your co-hosts, Simon Gabitas, and I'm joined by my other co-host, Michael Hardy. And we are also joined by our other committee member, Katie Gibson. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Simon. I'm good. Looking forward to today's business show. Third one. Feel like we're getting into a bit of a swing of this now, especially with the big quiz, but we'll come back to that later. But
yeah, my favourite bit of that. I love that.
Just want to say what's coming up on today's show. We've got some last month's meeting highlights, the business show big quiz, obviously. Then we're going to have a bit of time talking to Katie and about her work and why she's joined the committee and what her role is on the committee. We've got the business grants section, which again got some more information from Will at the council, which has been great. Who gives a book? And then we'll meet Lucy Painter from Funding Round with our guest interview. So another packed show.
Lots going on yet again. So you did say we're going to have a bit of a recap on what happened at the Newark Business Club breakfast meeting in March. So our meeting was sponsored by Ian Stevens from Lawmaster, the man that said, we do grass.
And he did grass.
He grew some grass. He had lots of table decorations around the room. Lots of people took those away with him. And he did a presentation all around some of the projects that he's worked on before as well. And yeah, it was a very informative presentation about grass.
Fantastic. You also had a visitor from the slopes of Avoriaz.
We did. So the Action Group chairman, who doesn't like joining us in person anymore, yourself, Mr. Michael
true.
Hardy. It was great actually to do that. And it's quite interesting to again, be able to bring you in via video. A, because I know that you're going to be there for 3 minutes and I can just switch you off. And it was quite interesting this time. We did, because the first time you did this, everyone clapped at the end. I don't know if you remember, Katie, but at the end of this one, I went, yeah, don't clap, he's not here.
Yeah.
But it was. It was really, it was good to get that Action Group update. And we really appreciate the fact that you did that from a ski slope.
Yeah, I know you appreciated that. So that's always
great. Yeah, I personally did not like seeing you do that because, yeah, I missed the snow. But anyway.
Anyway, other highlights, charity of the quarter, was that last month?
Charity, we had three charities present. So we had the team from the Barmby Road Community Trust. We had the guys over from Beaumont House. And we had the YMCA Newark and Sherwood team as well. So our charity of the quarter was the Barmby Road Community Trust Group. So we were able to give, I think in total, they got £1,000. Wow. And then the other two charities got a £400 donation as well. So really good. Lots of exposure for them. They talked about what they need, not just necessarily money, but we got a bit of an insight into the day-to-day runnings of some of those charities as well. So yeah, really insightful.
Fantastic. Sounds like a really good meeting.
Lots going on, lots of people talking. We had our table networking as usual. And then we also had a little session where we asked people to just give us a bit of feedback on what's happening, making sure that we're trying to add as much value as we can in those meetings as well.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, thanks for that, Simon. And we're now moving on to the most anticipated part of the show.
I need a toilet.
It's the business show big quiz. Quizness, yeah. Although somebody did mention that there's not enough questions to make it a quiz, but
we'll see
how we get on. So, Katie, just so you're aware, we started this last month, and so far Simon is 0-2. But we're not keeping count. This is not about point scoring. This is just about...
just pure humiliation.
Raising awareness of some things that are going on in business that might be of interest to our listeners.
Right. I think the body shop question was actually really interesting last time. And unfortunately, I would have been able to tell you that because that was my Saturday job in Newark. I was really... that's frustrating that it's not this time.
But not in 1974 when it was founded. Or
1976.
Yeah. I still got it wrong.
Okay, well, let's move on. First question this month.
Question number one.
What will the national living wage increase to on the 6th of April?
The national living wage on the 6th of April will increase to £11.44.
Yes, great. Well
got
done,
question
Simon.
Right.
Well done.
Thank
well
you,
done.
Michael.
That's great. And obviously, from a business point of view, there's a couple of things. That's moving down at the moment. The national living wage is for under 23s, but it's actually going down to under 21s the 6th of April. And that's a 9.8% increase year on year. And obviously inflation, which you know now, Simon, currently running at...
It's 4%, I think.
Yeah, thank you. So obviously from business owners' perspective, it's really important to understand the impact of the national living wage increase to your business costs and to other staff, because there is a knock-on effect of people who might not be on minimum wage currently who suddenly get caught up in a 9.8% rise. Then you could be having people who aren't at minimum wage requiring an increase as well. So what does that do to your business costs, and how does that impact your business moving forward? So I think that's really important to keep an eye on that, because we're only a month away or so. In fact, less than that. When this goes out, we'll be about 3 days away. So, second question. February saw a 15% increase year on year of personal money withdrawn from the post office. How much money was withdrawn in February? So this is personal cash taken out from the post office. Not business, all personal.
It's going to be in the billions, but I was actually reading about how much has been taken out of premium bonds, which, again, similar reasons, I'm sure. 400... No, hang on. No, this is... Can you see the answer on the other side?
No, this is a tough one.
It's 320 million.
Not quite. Not quite. 806 million.
806 million. Okay. Yeah,
which is 15% up year on year.
Yep.
Personal cash withdrawn. So that's a lot of money, but it's a big increase, which probably tells you about where people are in terms of needing more money to fund their lifestyle, and probably about inflation, which currently runs at
4%.
But as we know, that is just a basket, and personal inflation will be higher than that because of in situations. So that's question number two. And the final question. So we're sort of moving up in scale here. So who was fined £1.5 billion for breaking EU law over music streaming?
So I haven't actually got a clue on that one.
Come on, have a guess. You. This is your chance to win this month's round.
Who was fined for music streaming?
Breaking EU law over music streaming. £1.5 billion.
This is a company or a streaming company?
A company.
A company that streams music.
I'm not going to give you any clues, am I?
I'm trying to figure out whether or not someone like Spotify would actually, how that would work, but...
Is that your answer?
On the basis of moving this quiz on, yes.
Wrong. It was Apple.
That would have been the other side of it. Okay. Yeah.
So it just shows they broke EU law and therefore were fined £1.5 billion because of it.
Wow.
More details on. Just going back to the February post office withdrawal, that was actually a story on this morning's Radio Newark business updates, sponsored by the Business Club. So
I've heard that. Sounds good.
Good to hear that you were listening in this morning on AD's show.
So on the basis that actually we have had some really good feedback on the business quiz, but one of the things that I have heard from people is that there probably wasn't enough questions.
Yes.
So Phil, the producer, is very aware of what I'm about to do, but I figured that we should add maybe a couple more questions into the quizness. So Michael and Katie, to be honest, I thought I'd add some more questions into our quiz. What do you reckon?
This is the business show. We've still got quite a lot of things to move through.
I was going topical. So I can run through a couple of questions quickly, because I thought we'd add a few, couple extra in. So on the lines that for SME businesses, the government has announced that the increase in VAT registration threshold has gone from 85,000 to 90,000 from the 1st of April. What I was actually going to ask is, in the United Kingdom, VAT was introduced in what year?
It's a very good question, Simon.
Thank you.
I'm not sure how relevant it is to the local business community. I will say 1969.
Very, very close. It was 1973. That replaced purchase tax. And it's still, so it's the third largest source of government revenue after income tax and national insurance. As a follow-up question to that, could you tell me five products that are zero-rated VAT?
Oh, here we go. So we've got children's clothes.
Yep. Particularly if it's under 14s.
Takeaway cold food.
So sandwiches cold, yeah, we'll go with that. Nice. This is good.
Children's shoes.
No, it's in clothes and footwear, same category, but yeah, two and a half. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't quite count, does it? Physiotherapy.
Not on my list from the government's website, but are you just as hopeful?
No. Physios don't charge VAT because they can't be VAT registered. Mm. So is there something about medical or something
about
that?
Yeah, there
nature?
Is some prescription medicine that's on there.
Okay. Don't want to sort of have this going on all day and night. Food. So in the supermarkets... So food and fresh fruit and veg and stuff like that.
Yes. So fresh fruit and vegetables. Also fish, very importantly, including live fish. Why wouldn't you?
Yep.
Interestingly for you, bicycle and motorcycle helmets. Oh, no VAT. Go. Next time you get your bicycle helmet.
I need a new one. I'll go and get a new one.
Biscuits, as long as they're not covered in chocolate.
Yep.
And cakes. Because, of course, there is the whole debate about cake
Jaffa
versus...
Cakes.
Yes. So that
cakes.
Was actually a 1991 court case where Jaffa Cake argued the case about whether or not they were a cake or a biscuit. And actually, the reason that they are a cake is because the moisture content is greater than 12%.
You see, cakes go hard, biscuits go soft.
You see, someone said that to me earlier on. Yeah,
that's the real culinary
piece. But ultimately,
piece.
It allowed Jaffa Cake to remain being a cake and therefore attract zero VAT and therefore keep the price down and sell more units.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Well, that was just an addition.
That
I thought
brilliant.
We'd add
thank
a few extra
that.
On. Thank
five,
you very much.
So five questions. So I got one right and one wrong. Is that right?
I wasn't counting.
Okay. Thank you.
No, it was good. Excellent stuff. Right, we're going to move on to the next segment then.
Yeah, let's have an intro to Katie Gibson.
Katie Gibson, hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, how are you?
We are splendiferous. Very good, thank you indeed. So, Katie, you joined us on the committee last summer, it was. Yep. I remember lots of phone conversations during the summer going, can you come and join us on our committee? So I suppose as a brief intro, can you tell us what you've kind of come on board to help and support us with?
So I'm going to be helping with events and marketing, I believe, moving forward. The business club has been a big part of my work life since I started working in Newark, really. I think it's a great networking event and the meeting itself is very slick, and it's because so much work goes into behind the scenes preparations for speakers and sponsors and... I don't think people realise how much work is involved, but I've got some friends that have been on the committee and still are on the committee. And I just wanted to help out really and join in and yeah.
Good stuff. And you mentioned about kind of working in Newark back then. So because your journey there was Newark Advertiser, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I forgot about that. Because there is a nice little link as you follow your kind of career through. So you were Newark Advertiser for 5.5 years.
Yes.
You then went off as a business owner. You had Toast in Nottingham.
Yes.
Just off Derby Road.
Yes. So it was my dream to always have a coffee shop. And I always said, I'd love to be able to have a coffee shop before I was 30. So I left the Advertiser when I was 29. Had an opportunity, created an opportunity. Everyone thought I was crazy. Went into business with my sister, started my first coffee shop, Toast. I was there for 2 years, sold that, and then opened a coffee shop in Ludnam, which I had
the Ludnam
6 years.
Tea House.
Yes.
But it is worth mentioning that while you were at Toast, you were a finalist for Innovative Business Awards at the Nottinghamshire Post Business Awards in 2013.
Thank
And like you say, you then had Lendham Tea House for 6 years as well, before then going and starting to work with the marketing and fundraising team at the Children's Bereavement Centre, at which point you returned to working with your old pal, Rachel Wilson.
Yes.
Nice little circle there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm delighted to be working back with Rachel. In fact, we were in kind of different departments, really, the advertiser. But yeah, I knew her well because we kind of, our paths did cross with events and stuff. So yeah, super fun. We know a lot of the same people. Reminisce about those old times. I've got really fond memories of my time at Nook Advertiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved it.
Brilliant. But now as a team, doing the work that you do with Rachel, I've got to say there's lots of energy, lots of activity that comes out of you guys. And you know, it's obviously has a big impact on the Children's Bereavement Centre and the money that we're able to raise as well.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we're really passionate about the charity and working with people. And it's kind of similar, really. We were both in sales and advertising and marketing at the Advertiser, and it was all about people. We were a community newspaper. And yeah, it's very similar, really. The charity is all about people, making yep. connections, obviously fundraising, but working with amazing local people and businesses. We have an amazing amount of support, and it's hard not to be enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, no, good. It's good to see. I suppose outside of work, just to find out a little bit more about you, what do you like to do outside of work?
I love film. So I have just, we're just about to renew our Limitless at Odeon Cinema. Yeah, love going to the movies. I like going to the ice hockey.
Of course,
let's go Panthers.
Yep.
Yeah, we've just actually, with the charity, we've been able to be their charity of the month for February.
Saw that.
Which was fantastic. Great opportunity to fundraise.
Combines two passions
yes,
in one.
Yes, exactly. We were able to go to all six games and yeah. Really enjoy that. And yeah, traveling, I do love to travel.
Of course, you've just been, where have you been? You've been up Scotland, haven't you?
Just at the in the Highlands. We've not really explored Scotland very much. We go to Ireland quite a lot, and kind of similar scenery and, you know, rural expanse. Yeah, lots of driving. but yeah, we've had a really nice time.
Excellent stuff. And I understand that you do like your food, bit of a foodie. What would you say is your favourite food?
Oh, that's a tough one. I do love Italian food. We touched on my career earlier. I did start off waitressing at the Ossington when it was ZZ.
Oh, wow. So
you were the restaurant manager, weren't you, at one point?
When I was at university, I started just as a Saturday job. And then while I was doing my degree, I was like, I really enjoy this. Became a supervisor. And then, yeah, I think I was there for about 6 years altogether. Became a deputy manager. And then I worked for ZZ as like an area trainer. So I used to train front of house waitresses and was based in Market Harbour for a while, which is a great little town. So, yeah, I'd say Italian. Love pizza.
Yep.
Love really posh cheese like Barocca.
And of course, that pizza oven is functioning again, isn't it? It's back up and working. So,
you know, it's really lovely to see that building back open and being used to its full potential. And actually, Simon, who's the head chef there, used to be the chef I worked there at ZZ.
So
he also goes to the ice hockey. So I got to catch up with him as well. But yeah, it's just brilliant to see Strays to have moved.
So we definitely need to sort an Italian committee meal out at some point then.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good
plan. And we've got the new Italian at the station, Castle Station as well.
Yeah.
Of course we have.
La Vita Mia.
And we can jump on the train straight afterwards.
Absolutely. Not that you'd need to, because why would you need to go anywhere? You've got everything you need in Newark.
Yeah.
No, I agree, but just to go on the train and back.
We want people to come to Newark to use our...
Maybe we can encourage people to come and meet us and use the train to meet us there.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's what we need to do.
Especially when there's 2 an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're a long way from that, unfortunately. Oh. Don't get me started.
And the final question for you, Katie, is who's your favourite Newark Business Club committee member? No, I'm joking. Seriously, who is it? It's Michael. Oh, no, I'm joking. No, thank you. Thank you very much for giving us a bit of an intro into you. Again, thank you for your time and resource that you put into the Newark Business Club. And collectively, you know, we've now got 12 people on the Business Club at the committee. We're in a really strong place. And, you know, it's because of the people like yourself that give up your time to be able to create what we hope, like you said, is a slick environment and a slick meeting once a month as well.
Yeah, pleasure.
Great
yeah.
to have you here.
Thank
and,
you.
And talking of slick, we'll move on to our next feature.
Tedious Link.
Yeah, which is grants. So we did this last month. Will Parkinson from Newark and Sherwood Council very kindly sent us three different grants that are available. And Will and part of the economic growth team, they have a whole raft of grants and are able to talk to businesses and give free advice and direction. And the feedback's been really good. And Will was really grateful because he'd had some people contact him about some of the grants we mentioned, which is always great to hear. So we've got three for you this month. The first one is the Emerging Maker Grants. So the Emerging Maker Grant Scheme is funding opportunity for craft businesses to support the training and education of talented early career craftspeople. So this is great because this is again like young person, like the entrepreneur mm-hmm. last month. Grants open to all UK-based makers who identify their practice within the field of craft and have strong foundation and clear commitment to their craft. Grants of up to £10,000 is provided towards craft training and education. Training can take many forms, from college courses to vocational one-on-one learning with master craftsmen, which is great because it's not just linked to an apprenticeship or something. I think that's really, really good. And it can even be a bespoke program or short courses. Applicants are open biannually in the spring and autumn. So the next round is July 2024. So we've got a couple of months. But as ever, time goes by. So if this is of interest to you, get in touch with Will. The grant is provided by the Queen Elizabeth Scholarship Trust. So that's Emerging Maker Grants. So sounds interesting.
Nice.
Second one is the Kaleidoscope Investments, or KI, aimed at giving financial backing to help disabled entrepreneurs in the UK and start their own business. So again, really great funding. One in five people in the UK have disabilities or special needs. The majority of them have difficulties in starting their own business or raising funding. Kaleidoscope provides investment, business advice, mentors, and an infrastructure around the entrepreneur throughout the duration of their business life cycle. Kaleidoscope Investments can offer between £10,000 and £250,000. So that's between £10,000 and £250,000 of investment or grant support for businesses. Alongside this, Kaleidoscope Mentors provides tailored advice and guidance for entrepreneurs. It's a rolling program and applicants for assistance may be submitted at any time. So that sounds okay. like a fantastic opportunity. And the final one is the Midlands Engine Investment Fund. The Midlands Investment Fund. Do say that twice, just in case. This is a new fund of £400 million for new and growing businesses. It's launched by the British Business Bank, and there are several options, small, medium and large loans, between £25,000 to £100,000. Eligible businesses include startups, early stage businesses, as well as those with expansion or growth plans. We've got Lucy Painter, as we mentioned before, from Funding Round, so maybe we'll have a chat to her. Maybe she knows a bit more about that a little later. But three great pieces of investment opportunity. As I say, please contact Will Parkinson at Newark and Sherwood District Council for any information about those three or for any other grants or financial support, because they do have lots of opportunities there. So,
wow. And a big range. So obviously last month as well, the three grants that we were talking about last month, lots of different grants for different people, different industries, yeah, exactly. Lots of things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the bit. I mean, again, there's three there or two, certainly I've never heard of before. And covering such real diverse areas, obviously the Kaleidoscope looking at the sort of disabled area, and then the craftspeople looking at, you know, craftsmanship is something that is a dying art, and we, mm-hmm. You know, everybody's focused on tech. So having a way of training people to become a master craftsman and supporting them without the formal apprenticeship, I think is fantastic. So
Excellent. No, that's really good. So again, people can contact Will Parkinson for more information.
Absolutely. At the District Council.
Excellent. Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much for those.
No problem. So next is who gives a book?
Who gives a book? So we actually tried to give a book away last month, but it was actually published and out the same day that we're trying to give it away. So Ian Stevens, who we mentioned, sponsored the meeting at Lawmaster. Ian has published his, well, he hasn't published it. Someone has published a book for him. He was going to self-publish originally. And then someone went, yeah, we like the idea of that. So he has My Year in Photos. So this started off as a little project through lockdown. And he started taking photos and it got into a bit of a habit. And he started taking a photo a day. He's created a 365-day nature-inspired photo diary. For those of you that know Ian Stevens, he likes a pun or two. And he has attached some of those in the book as well. Oh, so as you work through the book, there is some amazing photos of nature, but he's also added his own style of commentary, which is great. The book was actually won by Ashley from Nettle of Newark and Grantham, and he has been promised a copy of that book from Ian, so I'm sure he'll be dropping that off at the next meeting or before. The book that I had a pre-published version that I was able to flick through, and I'll certainly be getting a copy myself because it does look very interesting. I think you can buy it now.
Yeah, and I know if you follow Ian on Facebook social media, he's been posting the photos
right
through the last year.
So I don't
more.
Need to buy it then. I can just go on.
If you want to go on his story and just flick through,
I'll just copy it and make my own book.
That's not quite the way. And it is fascinating. You know, and of course, you know, nature never stops, does it? And with Ian sort of being out and about, he sees some just amazing pictures, and he's captured them fantastic. And his own puns are sometimes a bit cringe-worthy, but quite often quite amusing. So
it's fascinating, actually, because he said that he started it because he did a 30-day initiative that on Twitter that Woodland Trust was starting.
All right.
And that just shows that when you do something every day, it becomes a habit.
Yeah,
it's a really good example of him really getting into it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's great to see that it's turned into 365-day inspired book. So we will put a comment, I'm sure, on one of the social media posts so you can see where you can purchase that book from.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay, Action Group, quick update.
Yeah, are you going to go to the slopes and do that again this time? Or you?
No, I think I'll do it from here. So next meeting is April the 22nd, Monday at the Organ Grinder on Portland Street. So 6 p.m.
in the Monkey Room.
Back in the Monkey Room, in the pub. Obviously, we'll be covering all the usual planning, transport, retail, hospitality. If you've got something you want to talk about, if you want to learn some more information about what's going on in and around this fantastic town, come along and join us, and we'll be delighted to have you along and just chat about business and what we can all do to help each other.
Great.
So yeah, so that's on the 22nd of April.
And like you say, anyone can join. You don't have to be a business club member to pop over to that meeting.
No, not at all. Not at all. Welcome to everybody.
Excellent stuff.
What time does that start?
6 p.m. Thank you, Katie.
6 p.m. Monkey Room, Organ Grinder.
22nd of April.
That one.
Done.
Right. So it's probably time that we introduce our special guest that is our patron sponsor as well. So we're going to be talking now to Lucy Painter from Funding Round. Right, it's now time for us to introduce our special guest today. So we have Lucy Painter from Funding Round with us. Lucy, hello, welcome.
Hello.
Great for you to be with us on the podcast show today. And first and foremost, thank you so much for your involvement with Newark Business Club as a patron sponsor. Today, we are going to be talking about your business journey, and we're also going to be finding a little bit more about you.
Ooh, dangerous.
Sounds exciting. What do you think, Michael?
It's great to see Lucy here, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about her business journey.
Fantastic. So we talked briefly earlier on about your business journey, and I think you described it as four cornerstones of the journey. So do you want to kind of start off and give us a bit of an idea of your business journey to date with Funding Round?
Okay. I think really when I thought about my business journey, which seems like a really grand thing, doesn't it? Yeah. And it's not that grand. When you look back, I decided. And there were a few things that sprung to mind. Firstly, was there was no plan, which was really worrying for me because I love a plan.
As well, it is that next to Michael Hardy, who's the master of plans.
Absolutely. But once I'd got over the concern that there was no plan, I thought, well, how did I get to where I am now? And that's where these four cornerstones came up, as you mentioned. And it goes way back when, much, much further back than funding round. And the first one I came across was that, yes, there are rules out there, but don't be constrained by rules. And this came up even before the work environment at the end of school, when I didn't quite get the A-level grades I needed to go to my university of choice. So after a few traumatic days of that time when A-level results come out, I decided I would just talk to my university of choice and see if they'd perhaps bend the rules somehow, nice. Which ultimately, I suppose you could say they did. And they agreed that, yes, I could retake one of the subjects. They really wanted to, but we got down to one. And I was wanting to study German, so I'd said that my year abroad or my year after retaking would be spent in German-speaking countries, therefore getting the German language up to a much better level than sitting in the classroom.
So I was going to ask you about that, because you worked in Germany for 2 years, didn't you?
Oh, it was longer than 2 years. In the end, it was about 6 years, I think. So yes, and that was partly because of my degree.
Do you still speak German?
I do, yeah. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Wow, we're not going to test that, because me and Michael are going, well, okay, that's really good
on.
French, that, actually.
So that was the first thing that struck me, was that, yes, there are rules, and there's a reason for rules, but there are sometimes ways when you just need to work with them and around them.
Well, I love that. I think that is true entrepreneurial spirit, though. I think if you read lots of biographies from very successful entrepreneurs, you'll find that they often like to break rules too. So I think that's obviously the start of something from an entrepreneurial side.
Possibly.
And some negotiations as well.
Yes, yeah. Influencing.
Absolutely.
Persuasion, yeah. All of that, yes.
Really important.
Started at a young age,
I think
clearly.
We're writing a book here. It's good.
So that's the first one. The second one was really about trusting your instinct. I'm a very logical person, but sometimes you really have got to listen to your heart, and that gut does say things at times. And I think the first time this came up was after I'd gone through my university degree and managed to get the degree at the university, so they didn't keep me out, so that's all right. And it was after a four-year degree, a year of travelling, I'd had a year out before my degree, so I really did need to start working. I was back in Germany at the time, so living abroad as well, needing to, get some money in the coffers, really. And as you know, as a recruiter, Simon, you spend, as a candidate, a lot of time sending out applications, speaking to recruitment agencies, and eventually one came back with an offer. Really exciting. And it was a small consulting business in the oil industry.
Okay.
Which is an industry I know a little about because my dad was in the oil industry.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe. You know, and then I remember the conversations with my dad about the oil industry and the technical stuff. And it was really quite dull. And so this call came in about this job offer. And your first reaction is great, got a job.
Mm-hmm.
But my second one, much longer lasting, was I don't think I'm going to enjoy it that much. In a small consulting company with about 12 men, I think, all speaking technical stuff. And it was that gut instinct, absolutely. So slept on it and phoned them back the next day and said, thank you very much, but I'm not going to take it. And, you know, that was really tough, though, to say, okay, you've got an offer and you're going to say, no, it's not right for me.
How different your journey could have been, though, if you said yes.
I know. Because then about 4 weeks later, I ended up at a multinational global tech company in Munich, which just offered so many different opportunities for me. So it was really important to listen to your heart at that point for me, despite being a very logical person. That was my second thought, was make sure you've got a good balance there between head and heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important in so many decisions in life. And the situation you were in, where, as you say, you've been to university, you've had your year out, you should be ready for the step to turn down that first offer that would have been good start, good opportunity, but you've made the right one.
Yep. No, I think I did.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. I did.
Here you are on the Radio Newark Business Show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Don't know what my dad thought, though, having turned down something in the oil industry after he'd spent so many years in it, absolutely. But never mind. So, yes, that was the second key theme, I think, that I felt was important over the course of my business journey. The third one was thinking about the people around you.
Okay.
Because people are so important, aren't they, in work? We spend so much time there, and we all have a service or a product or whatever it is that we're delivering, but we deliver it with other people on the whole. We need the other people around us. And I'm somebody who learns from other people all the time. So for me, it's always been important to be with people who can develop me, yes, and I can see from them what I can do to make sure that I'm moving forward. But there's also something about certain people bring the best out of you. Certain people make you brilliant, and other people don't make you brilliant. And it's about thinking and recognizing when you're in a situation which is really working for you, for people, with people, and when it's not quite right, and making a decision then. And I've been lucky over the years working to have worked with some brilliant people, no doubt about it. But there've also been times when I've recognized those people aren't good for me.
Yep.
And I suppose that really came to the fore when I left the corporate world about 11 years ago now. And the people, there was a big change happening in the company, which was the right change for the company, but it meant that the people changes that were being made weren't going to be the right changes for me. Yeah. And so that then got me to make a decision to move out of there and end up in this small business world.
And that was a big change, because like you say, that was a big company that you're working for at the time. So you obviously went from there to an environment where you're working initially, what, by yourself?
Yes, so consulting, because initially then I was working in HR rather than finance. And so I built my own HR consultancy, not necessarily a decision that my husband thought was a good one at the time, but there you go, we're still together, so that's fine.
Gut feelings.
Gut feelings, absolutely. So it got me out and really recognizing all those different types of companies we've got on our doorstep when you're not just driving up a corridor of an A1 day in, day out to the same place, and really opens your eyes to the amazing people. Going back to brilliant people, the amazing people out there, and the amazing businesses that we have right here under our noses.
Oh, I've got to agree. I think, personally, I also spent lots of time working London and South with my last role before I started working for myself. And it wasn't until I started working locally that I realised that Newark and surrounding areas are full of some fascinating world-class businesses as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So can we just get this right? Your second cornerstone upset your dad, and your third cornerstone put pressure on your marriage.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the fourth.
Oh, dear.
Good point. Yeah.
I think the fourth probably brings them all together. And the fourth for me is know your own values and don't compromise them.
Yeah.
Nice. Brilliant.
And again, it's not easy, is it?
No,
and,
not at all.
And when I look back over my working life, there have been decisions that I have known are right for me, and they can be work decisions, so not necessarily for what I need to do, but I can see a work situation where I believe that's the right situation. And you have to have some tough conversations with the people around you, and they might not decide that that's the way they're going to go, and that has happened before. And you'll be talking to people much more senior than you, and they'll say, no, this is the way we're going to do it, Lucy. And it's like, well, okay, but I'd like you to understand this is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And that just helps me sleep at night, knowing that I've stuck by what I think on a justified basis. It's not just on a whim, because I'm a logical person, remember. But it's making those decisions, knowing what I think is right, being able to convey that, work with the people around me, and move on from there. But I know I've done the right thing.
So important. Values are something, you know, I talk about a lot in the role I play, and they should be a real cornerstone to any business, because especially small business, which is run by an individual or individuals, because that's going to drive your behaviour, your team's behaviour, who you actually work with as well, because that's really important.
Absolutely.
So many people say, I'm working with this customer, I'm just not getting the rapport, the partnership that I need. And it's usually because the values aren't aligned. So getting that and understanding that is really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going back to that, spending so much time working, what's the point of doing things that you don't enjoy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you're dealing with clients where it's not working, then there comes a time, doesn't there, when you've got to have a tough conversation with them.
Absolutely.
It is a tough one. I think at the start of the business, you're almost tempted to take everything on and say yes.
Yes.
But actually, sometimes it's not the right decision.
No.
Sometimes it's negative for the wrong people that you're working with. Sometimes it's not right commercially. Yeah. So actually, to get to the point where you're happy and content with the business that you're taking on and saying no to some of those things.
That's a great place to be.
It's an amazing place to be.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. And there is a learning process to get there. You're absolutely right, Simon.
Yep.
Yeah, I might get there one day. I think one of the, we were talking just before we came on air, and I love the fact that you've gone back right the way through, you know, to those early days of A-levels and looked at sort of how you've achieved and got to where you've got to. And I was saying that there's a really famous Steve Jobs speech that he did at, I think it's Harvard University, as a graduation, where he talks about, you know, and this was to the graduates who were leaving university, saying, you will have an idea of where you want to get to, but you'll never really have a plan and know how you're going to get there. And the best way to do it is to look back and realize what dots you've followed to get to where you are. Yes. And that's a bit like where you are where today. Yes. And as you look back, you can see the important cornerstones, those milestones, those things that have happened to you that have shaped you to be the person you are, the business that you've become. And I think that's fantastic.
I love that.
I think there's a good mix there as well, though, because you start with that entrepreneurial flair of breaking rules. Then you start to kind of put some of that structure back in, and the principles and the values, and actually you put that all together.
Yeah.
And that is, well, that is, you know, the successful entrepreneur, isn't it? That is what you want to put all together in the recipe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Full package. Yeah. I think ultimately it's about being true to yourself.
Yeah.
If you can be true to yourself, then the world is your oyster.
Yeah. Was it Steve Jobs that said, actually, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. And that is if you are enjoying what you do. There is no doubt we've taken people on in our business, worked with people who've said, you could be making loads more money. Yeah, we could. But we would have annoyed people. We wouldn't have had the reputation that you build up. You wouldn't have had the partnerships with people. And for me, the sustainability of growing a business is far more important than actually quick wins.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And enjoying life on the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of other stuff that happens.
Meeting great people.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Well, Lucy, that's brilliant and something to really think about for ourselves and the audience, hopefully, who are watching or listening to this. A few things about, you know, while we've got you, be good to just get your view on some of the things that are going on in the business world at the moment. Obviously, we keep being told there's a recession because the government looked back at sort of 6 months ago and realised they got their calculations wrong, and then they brought it forward. So what's it like out there as a company who work in the finance world, who are trying to support businesses with their growth or with their reinvestments?
It's no doubt it's a tough market out there. And I'd love to meet a business who says it's the best market they've ever seen. it is tough. If you look at what's happened over the past few years, both from the economy, from a global perspective, you know, we're not just talking local UK. I think part of the conundrum at the moment is indeed that geopolitical landscape that we've got currently.
Yeah.
This year's an interesting one on so many different levels for businesses, and where we'll be in 12 months' time will be really interesting. But we've got to get through this year first. So I think that's meaning that some businesses are being a little bit more cautious about their investment decisions. Absolutely, there is still some growth in the market, but that growth seems to be coming from new channels. That might be something that's a bit of a spin-off, really, from what we've seen over the last 4 years. And that's difficult then for lenders to really buy into from a risk perspective.
It's new.
It's new, absolutely. So it's all forecast-led. It's not looking back at the sustainable figures are that we just talked about to get that sustainable business, because that's not always there at the moment. So trying to get finance in a forecast-led market is more difficult. And also the appetite for lenders, whilst they say it's absolutely there and nothing's changed, it's absolutely not. And it's just a tougher ask for everybody, really.
We talked in the grant section a little earlier about the Midlands Engine Investment Fund 2. Is that something that you have access to?
Yes.
And is that something you can maybe give a bit more insight from me just reading off a piece of information?
Absolutely. So it's part of the government-funded programme, or government-backed programme, I should say. It's not necessarily government-funded. There is a fund there for Midlands. It's split between East and West Midlands.
Yeah.
It's not an even split between the two, interestingly
enough.
Shock horror, yes. Although East Midlands is doing slightly better than West Midlands.
Well, I guess not a surprise, is it?
So, and there are three elements to it, which you probably talked about, sort of small loan, a larger debt loan, and then equity funding.
Yeah.
And there are three delivery partners in the East Midlands who we talk to on an ongoing basis. So we've used the fund for our clients in the past. And going back to what we've just said about the tough market, typically what they're wanting to see is a business plan, the financials, but also a forecast.
Okay.
So it's building that forecast so that the lenders can get the right risk appetite to it, if you like, as to what's happening. Doesn't seem to be any restriction on sector, which is good, because previously when these sorts of funds have been backed by the EU, sectors like hospitality haven't been included.
Okay.
Hospitality is included
now,
which is great. I think there's still a bit of a gap, bearing in mind we have so much rural industry. There's a bit of a gap perhaps for some of the agri businesses. So there it's about putting the right context and positioning correctly in order for it to be eligible.
Right.
So there are some nuances, as there is with everything. That it's useful to know about. But yes, it's definitely a fund that we've used in the past and will continue to use. So it's great that's now launched. I think the other aspect to look at is the region. So where we are in Newark, we're on so many different borders.
Yeah.
So there's an equivalent Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund as well. So as soon as you go over the Lincolnshire border into Yorkshire, for example, then it's a different fund and different bodies that help. So, but yes, we're used to dealing with all of those.
And we also, we try and raise the grant sort of awareness within this, but is that something that you get access to and try and help businesses with as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. The way that we look at it from a finance perspective is what's the best position for the client? And if there is, I don't like to call grants free money, because actually it's not free money, because a lot of effort goes into it. But if there is a fund out there which will help boost the client, then absolutely we'll access it. Again, very regionally focused, but I work with clients on a fairly regular basis in all the regions. So whether it's Newark and Sherwood, whether it's South Caerstephen just over the border, or other Lincolnshire councils as well. Again, what we've seen in the past 12 months is it's become very decentralized.
Yeah.
And so they are very different in all the different regions, which, you try and keep up with what's going on. But actually, it's about making sure you know the right person in all of those places. And then you just pick the phone up.
Yeah.
So like, I've got a client at the moment who's in Claypole, just outside of Fernwood. So typically you'd think Newark, but no, that's South Caerstephen.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember those boundaries for COVID rules.
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Because Fernwood was one rule, tier something.
Yeah.
Claypole
was different.
The stone throw away was different.
Yeah. Madness, isn't it?
It was a bit strange at the time. But okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I guess from a viewer's, listener's point of view as well, it'd be good to kind of maybe get a brief summary of your offerings as a business as well, and all the stuff that you can do, or I guess different companies. Is there a particular size of company you've got to be to access your solutions and services?
The quick answer to that would be, no, any company can, but that's not helpful, is it? So typically lenders are wanting to lend to businesses that have shown some sustainability.
Okay.
So 2 years trading is always a good place to be.
Yep.
And 2 years trading with growth is an even better place to be.
Yeah.
That's shown. That said, there are lenders out there as well who will support with startups. It's harder.
Okay.
And you've got to have a very good plan. But there are funds out there as well for that. And there are different products as well. So it might not be a loan. It might be asset finance, for example, which does provide some security to the lenders. So they'll look at that differently as well. So we work with all sorts of sectors. Sector is sort of irrelevant, other than those that are deemed to be not good from a reputation perspective. Lenders don't like those, like gambling and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Size-wise, typically, sweet spot, I suppose, is where you're looking at 750 turnover plus.
Yep.
Probably up to about 6 million.
Okay.
They seem to be the businesses who don't have good access to their banks.
Yeah,
so therefore, they don't have a direct contact who can talk to them about the different products that are available. And that's where we can come in. We can almost be the bank relationship manager.
Okay.
But the beauty that we have is that we've got access to lots of different banks, not just one suite of products, which your high street bank manager will.
And like you said earlier on, your relationships as well, which is key in that.
Absolutely, yes. It is all about that long-term relationship rather than just a transaction.
Computer says no.
We're definitely not a computer says no. Sometimes I think to our detriment, but no. It is all about getting under the skin, really understanding what the requirement is and building that positioning that I mentioned before.
Yep.
So that actually the lender wants to lend to the business.
And you're finding a solution, aren't you?
We're finding a solution, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we talked about tough decisions, didn't we? Sometimes we had to say, no, it's not going to happen at the moment. This is what you need to do. If you do that, over the next 6 months, come back. And you know what? Businesses come back.
Yeah, and that kind of partnership, I suppose, is what you want. And actually, at that point, in 6 months' time, hopefully they're a stronger position. And actually, they'll be able to gain a better solution at
that
point.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because part of that discussion will be highlighting to them what they need to do. What are the key figures or KPIs or whatever it is that a lender's going to look at? So we're often helping our clients to really understand what's needed as opposed to just, here are my accounts. Why can't I have the money type of thing?
Yep.
So we spend a lot of time with clients doing that.
Yeah. Excellent.
Brilliant.
So I suppose it's a big thanks. Thank you for joining us on the podcast show today. And it's also a thanks again for being a patron sponsor for Newark Business Club. If people do want to reach out, I'm guessing you're on LinkedIn. People can message you if they've got a query.
Absolutely, yes. So LinkedIn, I'm not the best on social media. I should be better after all this time. But yes, on LinkedIn or our website, www.fundinground.co.uk. And of course, I'm at Newark Business Club pretty much every month, I think.
More than Michael.
Well, yes, I don't do videos, that's for sure.
We have to video him in from ski resorts nowadays.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for your time, Lucy.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was great meeting Lucy. Really good insight into her business journey and how she's got to being here today and how Funding Round has arrived where it is. So, yeah, really great, insightful piece. So appreciate her turning up today.
No, really good to listen to the four cornerstones that she mentions of her business, how she worked through that. And, it kind of forms part of lots of people's journeys. But, great to hear how that's worked for her.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right, this month's meeting.
So, like we said before, you may well be listening to this on the way over to the meeting. So if you are, then we will see you at the YMCA very shortly. The meeting for April is sponsored by Optimum Safety. We're also going to be hearing from Elaine Poon, who is part of the team at Newark and Sherwood District Council. Her project is specifically around Newark Towns Fund. So we're going to be hearing about how that money's being spent, what some of the plans and projects are, which is really insightful. I was part of a meeting a couple of weeks back to do with the Towns Fund and all of the projects that are happening behind the scenes, and actually to see all of the different stakeholders, all of the people that are putting effort, energy into this, and it all pieced together was fascinating. So hopefully members will get a real good insight into how that money's being spent and some of the future plans as well.
Excellent.
Lots of time for networking. So again, one of the things that we want to listen to is feedback from our members, and we know that they're keen to chat to other people in the room. It's a great chance, whether it's selling your business, whether it's talking to other business owners and creating links, partnerships, suppliers, customers, whatever it is. Again, you know, people working together, it's always great to see people linking in that meeting as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, another action-packed meeting.
Is it the AGM this month as well?
The AGM. So we will be hearing from our treasurer. So Michelle Allen will be giving us an update on what's happening from a financial perspective. And I'll also be giving a bit of a kind of summary of what we've been, what's happened, I suppose, over the last year. And maybe mentioning that I'll be staying on as chair for another year.
Hope so. Nobody else can do as well as you have done in this last year. I just have to say
That's the only bit I'm going to just take from
take this.
I'm going to cry.
Take it. Good. So another action-packed meeting.
Excellent. And lots going on again.
Perfect. Well, we're nearly at the end of another business show.
Can you believe it?
I know. I've just got one bit. I was just thinking about what, you know, it's always good to get lessons from different aspects and, you know, business, sports. We like our sport, don't we, Simon? Katie, do you like your sport? Of course you do, the Panthers there. So a few lessons from sport that we can take into business. Okay. So just five. So the first one is you play how you practice. So always give 100%. Always think about the outcome. Don't take it easy. Really important. Play with a goal in mind. So what are you trying to achieve? Don't turn up without having prepared. Don't turn up not knowing what the objective is. And that's something about going to the business club. What are you turning up for? Why are you coming to the meeting? What does success look like when you leave that room? Celebrate wins, learn from losses. Too many people don't celebrate even the big wins, let alone the small wins. So when you have a win, make sure you recognize it. But also, losses aren't devastating. You can learn from them, and, you know, dust yourself down, work out what went wrong, and let's go again. Play until the final whistle. Yeah. Those last minute goals, that last minute opportunity. Don't give up. Don't think that you've lost something until it's really gone, because you just never know. How many times do you put a pitch in and think that you've not won it, and then suddenly out of the nowhere, somebody comes back and goes, actually, I need to work with you because you've handled yourself in the right way through this process. So play until the final whistle. And you can't win every game. Yeah. In life, in sport, in business, nobody's unbeatable. So, you know, pick your wins, dust yourself down and move on. So just thought they were five good lessons from sport that in business we can also sort of take forward.
Nice, I really like that. And actually kind of linking in that to me from a sporting perspective, I run an under-11s football team, and actually one of our kids at the weekend, so 4-3 loss, so very well done to Muscombe Cougars under-11 and their manager Andy, but actually one of the kids said, we win together but we lose together.
Yeah, brilliant.
And from a 10-year-old, that was a really mature thing. But in the business environment, that's also really important. Yeah. You regroup, and like you say, lessons learned, drains up. What did we do wrong? How do we make it better next time? We talk about this in our business all the time. And actually, you can learn from that lesson. It might have cost you some money, but hopefully you can then propel that forward and turn that into an opportunity to make some more in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that's something just to think about, and finishes off this third business show. Simon, really appreciate doing this with you. I think a bit of fun, a few laughs.
Definitely, really enjoying it. And thank you again to Katie Gibson from the Children's Bereavement Centre, and of course our committee for joining us for this as well.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you all next month.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.